This is Electric Sisterhood, episode number 40. I want to be in a vending machine. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And this is episode 40 of our podcast.
Ooh, nice even
number.
Yeah, we're getting close to being doing this for a year, ladies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm not. I only joined at like 19, so.
Yeah. You've done a little more catching up, but and I, we're getting close to our year anniversary.
I know.
That's paper, right? Bite me, bitch! God! We're not even like a minute in and already the age stuff starts.
You know it.
Jesus. You know, I was thinking never mind.
The site. When was the site started? The site started a few weeks before.
No, the first episode of the podcast went out May 3rd. It was pretty instantaneous. The website actually existed as something else before
Splendid
it was called
Blender. See, was I not supposed to say that?
No, because I was going to do a thing, if you can remember what it was called before. We were going to give away some t-shirts.
So just bleep it out.
Fuck it.
Did
it's
my
done
other
now.
Bad comments.
No,
and
just fuck it. It's done now. Now I got to think of something else. You know how hard it is to be clever all the time? Do you?
I know. She doesn't have the gift like I do.
I fuck up your clever. That's awesome.
She has to work hard for her cleverness, and mine just comes natural.
See, oh,
I
must be the
I say something clever, and you bleep it out.
Wait, no. Not all the clever things. I wouldn't classify all the things that come out of your mouth as clever. Okay, some of them need to be bleeped out because, well...
Yeah.
Yeah, Magic, you've hit some low beams.
Okay, you said something even worse than I
you
did. That's why you got
it.
Bleeped out.
Okay.
You started
I'm
that.
Not going to point the fingers as to who started what, Magic, but I will say... all right, that...
I didn't it.
We're, yeah, but you take everything to a dirty place, so you took my bad comment and
course.
You made it worse.
I'm on the shore.
So anyway... We have to keep it all clean and get to the business part.
What episode was that so people know what we're talking about?
I don't know. We're not going back there. We're going forward. We can't look back. The past is done. We got to be in the now. And the now and the future. If you can be in the now and the future.
Business.
Yeah, we got to do the business. So you have to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. Short address will get you to the same place on the website, so you can check out our reviews, our comments, the articles, the thoughts that are running around in our weird little minds, and comment on them. And if you comment, you could win candy, or a t-shirt. Yeah, the t-shirt winners are coming back.
They better be.
Because, you know, we've got a little influx of money right now. So the t-shirt winners are coming back. And it's a hot
t-shirt. You know
that
day you wake up and you don't have anything to wear and they're like, I have an ESH t-shirt. Kink.
Yeah, and it's pretty hot, so...
And you guys, for that day you wake up and you have nothing to wear, do your fucking laundry.
Yeah, really.
All you but still, do, you can do it in your ESH shirt that you got for free.
You know, it's like $1.25 to wash, $1.50 to dry. You know, it's not that expensive.
I really say, you guys should win the shirts because, you know, eventually we're going to hit, like, Super Dream, and it's going to cost, like, $1 billion for one of our shirts.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, Tukey's one-of-a-kind shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, that will never be replicated. That's
never.
Like,
ever.
Ever. Unless we want to get sued. Which we don't.
Which we don't want to get sued because I'd like to keep the little influx of money that we've gotten. So, definitely interact with us, people. You could win candy... Or clothing. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Except
we feed you, we clothe you,
peace.
We amuse you. How could it get any better?
Well, eventually we're going to be giving away some handhelds, but that's a little more down the road. That's
Wait,
after
we're going to hand out hand... What?
See? My point is proven. She takes everything to the dirty place.
I'm not going
She just
to the dirty
drags
place.
It all right through the mud.
I'm going to come right back. I'm going to put it through the washing machine, about 25, and make it clean again. After the year anniversary, some of the giveaways that we're going to be doing are things like a DS Lite here and there, a game.
Little handheld thing.
Yes, that's why I said handheld.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
Anyway. So we'll feed them, we'll clothe them, we'll amuse them, and we'll give their fingers exercise.
Exactly.
More so than normal.
Finger size.
Yes, finger size. See, that's why this should really be a video podcast, because right now I'm doing finger exercises, and you can't see the funny.
Me too, actually. I'm doing finger exercises. My fingers are wearing those horrible spandex suits.
Oh, nice, nice. Mine are just in the buff.
Hands. Spirit fingers.
Those aren't spirit fingers.
These are spirit fingers. This is a spirit finger. Anyway, I bet you guys totally know what I just did. We don't need to be a video podcast, but anyway.
Yeah, we all know what you just did, though.
Yeah, we probably know.
Gotta do the power fingers. Like that.
Everyone okay. Knows what I just... And we're moving on, because I can't Sufi to save my life. It, like, hurts me.
Sufi!
To try and do it. I can't do it.
I can
I wanna
do it,
because
I rock and you suck.
You know what? Fuck you. With that said, I'm going to hand the mic of 1,000 truths to Pandalicious, even though she's being quite the bit of a pain in the ass right now. And what are you going to talk about, Panda? The people are waiting with bated breath.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm staying on the anime feed. I was going through a theory of mine that any game, any anime derived from a dating sim would suck balls.
Right.
And actually, surprisingly enough, I found one I actually liked.
Wow.
A lot of people don't. Yeah. So therefore, my theory has been, you know, fucked in the ass. But anyway.
But with lube.
Yeah, a little bit. Just enough. Because I mean. I had to watch it a couple of times to get the general gist of it, but I'd like, oh my god, this is so boring. Oh my god, this sucks. Like with Canon and with like Luna Legend to Tsukihime.
You were or you weren't like that?
I was not.
Were not, okay.
Not bored. Actually, I was talking to you about this. It's called Air.
Oh yeah, I watched a few episodes of Air. I hated it.
I can't get into it. And when I first watched it without doing any research on it, because I wanted to see how much of the actual story I could get on my own without having to cheat. And believe it or not, I got through.
You shouldn't need to cheat.
Arc.
They should give you all the information that you need.
You should, but some people don't, you know, perceive things the way that, you know, the creators want you to. So you had to watch it a couple of times, you know, like Utena. Do you know how many times I had to watch Utena before began to make any kind of sense?
It still doesn't make any sense to me. You have to read the manga. You have to read the manga, because all of the animated versions, the movie, the like, six different seasons
like a mind
of the series.
All the way to, like, Thursday.
Yeah, they're all mind fucks. Just read the manga. It's much more linear, and you kind of understand what's going on. It's got maybe half the amount of metaphors that the animated stuff has.
So, you know, so I was surprised that, you know, I got most of this. You know, and it's a fairly new anime. There's only 12 episodes in the arc. Technically 13, because they did a prelude. You know, they released that in November 17th of 2004. And it just showed, you know, interviews with the cast, you know, some opening and ending sequences, just to give you an idea of what the series was going to be about.
Uh-huh.
They didn't air it until January of 2005. And they do have a visual novel, but I don't, you know, I haven't seen it, so therefore I haven't read it, so I can only talk about what I've actually seen. For a 12/13, you know, episode series, there are three different arcs. There's the dream arc, which is episodes 1 through 7, the summer arc, that's episodes 8 and 9, and then the air episodes that are 10 through 12. There is a sub-season called Air in Summer, but that's only 2 episodes. That pretty much gives you, that happens within the summer arc.
Uh-huh.
They could be added on to the summer arc, you know, if you want more backdrop of one of the other arcs.
Right.
Which, you know, if you're if you're not paying attention, can be a mind fucking in itself. But the story opens up, and you know, you see the guy, tall, gray hair. You can only see one eye, and his name's Yukito Kunisaki. You know, and he's kind of a bum. He kind of shows up at this beach, you know, beachside area, you know, with this little cute doll that everyone seems to think is crap, you know, and he's trying to get money because he's hungry, and he's been traveling. He's a wanderer, and mm-hmm. he sees a whole bunch of kids, and he puts on this little show, you know, with this doll, and he can make it walk, you know, and it does little, you know, it walks in a straight line, and it might, you know, put you in smile and wave, you know, simple, but there's no strings to it, so it's that he's using a power. So you've already got this mysticism going through the first episode within minutes. You know, and he's expecting these kids to give him money, and they're like, you suck. That was boring. Your doll's kind of ugly. You know, and then one of the kids kicks it, you know, and they'd be kids, and they run away, and he's all like, you stupid idiots, you guys don't understand art when you've seen it. You know, and he's hungry, you know, and he goes by the ocean, and he falls asleep.
Okay, and, sleeping by the ocean. That can be nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, he falls asleep by the ocean, and he's there for a couple of days, so you don't notice that until later on in the arc. And when he wakes up, there's this beautiful blonde girl with this long blonde hair, and she's got her arms outstretched, and it kind of looks like she's flying because a couple of, like, sea squalls had flown by, so of course their feathers kind of fall. Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks like she just descended, but, you know, she's, you know, a school, she's a girl in a school uniform. She's just being stupid. You know, and she's all like, oh, hi. You know, it's like, you look like you're hungry. Let me go get you a drink. So, you know, she runs over to this, you know, convenient, you know, vending machine and gets these two drinks and gives
That's
one.
That's kind of the point of vending machines. They're there to be convenient.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like, all of a sudden, oh, my God, there's a vending machine.
You know, can I interrupt for just a second about the sure. vending machine thing? I saw the coolest-ass vending machine ever. I was going through a department store at the big bomb-ass mall near me, and there was a vending machine where you could buy, like, iPods.
No way.
I shit you not. You could buy, like, a Shuffle or Mini, the Nanos, or video, 30 gig or 80 gig, in, like, the vending machine. And it only took credit cards. We had to, like, pick how many of E8, which happened to be the video iPod you wanted. I was like, oh, my God. That's the coolest funny. Fucking vending machine ever.
I saw a really funny one up in Maine. It was a live bait vending machine.
Nice!
there's one near my school. There's one near my campus. There's a tackle and bait shop, and they have one. But... But anyway,
I get some worms.
It just seems horrible to stick something living in a vending machine.
I wanted to be in a vending machine, but anyway,
it's like some sort of obscure torture.
Anyway, getting back to what I came to like about this series,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm going to give you an idea of the first episode, just to give you an understanding about what's going on. You know, so he kind of bonds with this girl out of nowhere. And her name is Misizu, or whatever, I can't pronounce it. Mm-hmm. I'll just call her Mi for short. And she's kind of ditzy, you know, and she's very open. Like, she's just like, yeah, I have these dreams that I'm in the sky, and I'm sad, and I keep seeing this dream over and over again. And he's all like, here. And she ends up luring him away from the beach because he's hungry. And she's like, oh, well, I have food at my house. So, you know, any hungry man, you know, would, you know, yeah, follow. So they're in this house.
How do you feed a hungry man?
You just say, I've got food.
I couldn't help it, okay? I mean, it was right there.
But takeout, anyway, of course.
So she takes him to her house, and she's like, oh, my mother won't have any problem with you being here. She's hardly home as it is. And all of a sudden, you hear this big crash. You know, so he starts freaking out, and she goes, oh, don't worry about it. My mom always crashes her bike in the shed. No big deal. You know, and here comes this woman in a business suit, you know, and she's all like, who is this man in my house? And she's all freaking out. And then it does a whole pan where you see her, you know, dressed down in, like, a wife beater in, like, short shorts, getting drunk. She's like, he can stay. He just has to sleep in the shed. You know, and she pretty much, you know, is like, you can stay in my shed and we'll feed you. And you can make money, however. She's like, I want you to babysit, you know, me. I'll just call her Mies. And he's all like, are you serious? He's like, I'm here for, you know, I'm trying to find someone and da-da-da-da. And she's like, if you're staying in my shed, you'll do work for me.
So, you know, he you know, goes with it. You know, so you see this bond here, but you find out that, you know, this girl, me, can't really handle relationships of any kind. Like, she's always by herself. She'll play cards by herself, but just to have friends. But every time she gets too close to someone, she pretty much goes, like, bipolar and begins to cry uncontrollably and, like, freaks the fuck out.
Okay.
And, like, in episode, like, 4, this first happens, and, like, I'm like, what the fuck is her problem? You know, and you find out that she has a condition. You know, and there are other girls that, you know, you meet through Yukito. There's one girl who's a Michiru, and her mother has amnesia. Her mom has selective memory loss. Her mother has a miscarriage, you know, and she can't remember who Michiru is because that's not her real name. The girl known as Michiru is just saying that because her mom can't remember that she had a second daughter, and her name's Hinata. You know, so this girl Hinata's living as Michiru because her mother can't remember that Michiru was the miscarriage. You know, so she's been living this life for 15 years, living as the daughter that, you know, and she was like, you know, and this girl is so caught up in this depression that she wishes that she had a sister to turn to. You know, and there's this other little girl on this island. I'm just going to assume it's an island because it doesn't look like, you know, like Tokyo would with a lot of skyscrapers or anything. Like, it looks like it's a small rural area from the episodes that, you know, from the area that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she's all like, yeah, I've been Hinata's friend forever, and, you know, I'm here for her. And you actually know that because, you know, Hinata slash, you know, Michiru longed for a sister, that all of her longing actually manifested a form. And
okay.
It was this little girl. So wow. As soon as, yeah. So, like, there's all this mysticism happening in a very subtle way. You know, you don't have, like, Kai beams. You don't have, you know, like, it's not in your face
mm-hmm.
at all. So, I mean, it's very well done, you know, in a sense. And anyway, you pretty much, you see all these people's stories, and they all kind of interlock at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you really need to be paying attention to the main bond between Yukito and me, because that's where the main emphasis of the story is.
Okay.
For a mind fuck, though, you find out that, you know, these dreams that me is having is actually a curse. She was actually this sacred type of angel.
Uh-oh.
And these angels were used, in a sense, like, if back in the time when there were monks that could use curses and magic, they were kind of like, if you ever watched X, like, there was a sacrifice,
uh-huh.
No, and someone could die in the place of someone else, sort of.
Shadow sacrifice.
Yeah, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And these angels were so pure, and they were used in capitals, and, you know, if there were either bad will, like, you know, bad intentions meant for someone in the form of curses or evil mantras, these angels would absorb them and take them into themselves so that, you know, there'd still be peace and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother, Mi's mother, was taken by another enemy country, and they were, like, pretty much imbuing her with all of this, you know, ill omen and bad will. And she was supposed to be locked up in the moon or up in the sky, but they had her locked away in this shrine. And me, in her other form, Kana, this is her as the angel,
mm-hmm.
she couldn't spread out her wings, because once you get your wings, that's when it's your turn to become that shadow sacrifice, sort of.
Uh-huh.
And she hadn't been able to manifest them yet because she wasn't ready. And she was at one temple, and she was supposed to be taken to another temple. And she had a guardian named Ruya, who actually looks a lot like Yukito. Hmm. You know, and this other
right.
woman, Yukara, who actually looks a little bit like her stepmom. Hmm. Anyway, you know, and they're taking her, you know, and she's not, and this angel has been secluded for so long, so she doesn't know how to interact with people, because she's never really been around people. Okay. Are we all set?
Yep.
All right.
So, Kana, this other version of me, she hasn't gotten her wings yet. And once you get the wings, that's when you ascend and you become this shadow sacrifice. And she's being transferred from the temple that she's been sequestered in to a new temple. So they give her a guardian who looks a lot like Yukito. You know, and another, like, caster type who looks a lot like her stepmother.
So this is a past lives type thing?
Yes, it is. It takes place 1,000 years before the Dream Arc, which is episodes 1-7 of Air.
Okay.
So this is way before the series even starts. They're giving you a backdrop. And so as they're traveling, they're coming to know each other, and they're starting to form bonds. You know, and Khan actually starts to fall for Yukito's, you know, past life, sort of. You know, and they get halfway to this new temple, and they find the shrine that her mother's in. And they unlock her mother, and she goes to embrace her mother, and her mom's like, "Don't touch me. I have been tainted with this bad omen. And if these omens make this dream, the dream of the stars." And what happens
The curses they absorb, do they, with their holiness, do they purify the curses, or do they just accumulate curses?
They just take in they take the curses within themselves, so they don't go where they're intended to go.
No, but that's not what I was asking. Do they suffer the results of the curse?
The angels do, yes. The angels do.
That's what I was wondering.
Barrier. They take it all. They take it like bitches. But, anyway.
The angels take it like bitches.
So
okay.
Kuya, the Yukito lookalike, you know, puts the mom down and kind of goes to touch her. And she's like, "Don't touch me. I've been tainted. And if you get touched by me, you'll have this horrible dream of the stars." And they had a hard time translating it in the series.
How could a dream of the stars be?
Well, listen. This dream, what happens in this dream of the stars is when she's sleeping, she dreams. Her mom dreams. She dreams that she's up in the sky where she's supposed to be, but she feels all this sadness and all this grief. And the dreams continue, and they get worse and worse to a point where she'll forget her life and die.
Oh, well, that's like a sucky dream.
Yeah. So, like,
I've had bad dreams, but that trumps pretty much everything.
And the funny thing is, you know, like, when you see her, like, she starts flashing about what the dream actually looks like. And there's this really beautiful, like, scene of her, like, you know, it's a first-person perception, and it's just flying. You know, they have this really sad music going on, you know, and you just feel this heaviness. Like, they did a really good job portraying, you know, utter sadness within this beauty. You know, and Kana's like, "I don't care, I don't care." You know, and she touches her mom. You know, and you don't see, like, you don't see her freeze or anything, but you're totally like, uh-oh. Because, you know, when mom tells you no, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the mom's like, "Well, if you've got me, we might as well go. I don't have much longer anyway." So they're traveling, and one of the nearby countries that had taken Kana's mom was like, "Well, now that she's out of the shrine, we need to kill her." You know, so they send out all these, like, samurai warrior type things, archers and stuff that can shoot from far, far away, and send this hail of arrows down, and they pretty much skewer Kana's mom.
How did I know you were going to use that word?
And it's really sad because the whole time while Kana is using this journey, the caster, Yuhara, is, like, juggling. And Kana's like, "What is this thing that you're doing?" And she's like, "Oh, it's just to pass the time." And Kana had been practicing to show her mom. You know, and her mom's skewered. She's, like, dying. And Kana's like, "Don't die yet. Don't die yet. I've been practicing this, and I want to show it to you." So she tries to juggle, and because she's so sad that her mom's dying, she can't do it. And so she starts to have this big mental breakdown that looks a lot like the breakdown that me had. Anyway, mom dies, and as her mom dies, her wings sprout out, as in Kana's wings. So now Kana knows that it's her time to ascend and be this sacrifice. And she's sitting by this tree with Ruya and Yuhara, and she's like, "I would have liked to continue living here on Earth with you guys." And they're like, "What are you talking about? We're a family now, and we're going to go off to the ocean." And, you know, but Kana realize that's not what her fate is. So she's like, "I need to go up to the moon." And so she, like, spreads out her wings, and she's got to get naked. Like, she's naked angel. And
of course, it was a dating sim. Of course she has to get naked at some point.
Yes.
sprouts out, and she sprouts out her wings, and she takes flight. And now she's taking flight. All of these arrows are trying to fly her down because, you know, because she's just a pure angel, she hasn't been bound to any particular, you know, nation or country. So, you know, it'd be pointless for her to go up into the sky yet because she's not bound to anyone. So all this ill will would go wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And her usefulness wouldn't be very useful. So they're like, well, we either need to bind her to the human world or kill her. So in this far off shrine, you see all these monks and they're praying all this evil omen and they're building it up like atomic bomb, like H-bomb, like
Jesus.
Mantras. You know, and it's like, Kana, no! And all these arrows are shooting and they skewer her in the air, but before her body falls, this black inscription, like, curls around her, and she gets bound like she's being tied up, and she vanishes in the middle of the moon. And you find out that her soul split. So the soul that's stuck on Earth, part of the soul, is me, and another part of her that's still living the dream of the stars is in the sky. So the dream that me is having on the ground is corresponding to the part of her that's in the sky.
So she's lived like this as a split soul for thousands of years?
And she keeps getting reincarnated to relive the dream of the stars. She goes insane and she dies. You know, and she doesn't realize this, and that's why she can't get too close to people, because the last thing that happened to her before the splitting of her soul was she was just reunited and got all this these bonds of friendship and love got taken from her. So that's where this whole insane, you know, bipolar, oh my god, I can't get close to people because people die kind of mentality comes through. You know, so...
That's fucked up.
It is. So, you know, and the sad thing is, you know, Yukito, you know, you find out that Ruya and Yahara were like, well, we have to save Kana. She's like, we don't want her reliving this over and over again. Now, mind you, Ruya is in love with Kana and vice versa. You know, and he's like, well, I need to save her. And he can't because, you know, he's going to die. He's only human. So Yahara's like, let's get married. Let's have some babies. And we'll tell the babies, hey, since we're going to die, you need to save this angel. You know, and Yahara taught her son, who you actually find out is Yukito. So it's not that Ruya is Yukito, but Ruya is Yukito's daddy.
Okay.
And Yahara is Yukito's mom. You know, and Yukito's mom taught him how to use magic, and that's how he can make his little puppet dance and everything. So he's been searching for the girl in the sky, and he realizes that me is the girl in the sky, or rather is part of her. And he realizes that she's dreaming the dream of the stars. So, you know, he goes to her stepmom, and he's just kind of like, we need to do something, because if we don't, she's going to go insane, and she's going to die. Do you want her to die not knowing what real love is from a family or anywhere else? You know, and the stepmom, who's actually her aunt, really wants nothing to do with it. Like, she keeps coming off like she doesn't want anything to do with her, and she's like a burden on her shoulders. But, you know, she really does care for me. And it's really kind of sad because she doesn't know how to express it, because every time she's wanted to, you know, me will break down because that's part of the curse, you know, or at least that's part of her mental scarring, you know, and that's pretty much, you know, through the dream arc and the summer arc. So it gives you the whole, you know, backdrop of that. And then the last arc, the last two episodes, or rather the 3 through 12, you know, Yukito realizes that he has this power to try to save me, and he uses it. But in a sense, it also it takes away his slave human form, and he kind of becomes a crow, and the crow's name is Sora. Yeah, because of her condition, he can't be close to her in his human form, and when he realizes that, you know, it's his duty to save her, you know, he taps into this power that he wasn't aware that he had, and when he finally taps into it, you know, Mi wakes up in her bedroom and there's a crow there, and she names the crow Sora. And pretty much at this point, the whole series, episodes 1 through 9, are outlined in the last, like, 15 minutes of episode 10, but all through the eyes of Sora, the crow. So there's certain things that we didn't see through Yukito that we can see through Sora's eyes.
Okay.
You know, and at the end of it, Sora pretty much, you know, helps the aunt, you know, open up herself to me. You know, and then Mi feels that she can openly love her aunt. And with that, in a sense, it kind of ends the dream of the stars.
you know, the soul, her soul's never completely joined with the one in the sky, but she's no longer dreaming the dream of the stars.
Hmm.
So
wait, does that just rescue the human element that was connecting with the angel,
the
or does that rescue the angel
the
as well?
Okay. Well, since she's one and the same, they both stop dreaming the dream of the sky because now me on the ground isn't having the dream of the stars, and she was only dreaming it because the one in the sky was.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it cured them both, or one, depending on how you want to look at it.
Okay.
I was really surprised by the fact that they could take a dating sim and put this kind of story to it. Apparently in the game, though, it actually does go into the backdrop with the whole angels and, you know, Pat, what my father used to be and my mom. And the crow sequence actually happens in the game also. So not only are you trying to bang chicks, but, you know, you're also trying to save an angel, apparently.
Wait, but you said this was all happened up until episode 10. What happened in the next four episodes?
Well, in 10 through 12, this is when you see everything through the eyes of the crow.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's no real dialogue with Yukito anymore because he's asleep in the crow.
Is that, like, permanent?
Because right before... Well, they never really... You don't see Yukito come back.
Okay.
Last few... Because, I mean, Yukito is a kind of a formative part in this, but they really wanted you at that point to look at the love, you know, the family bond between the mom and daughter.
Okay.
Because it was that love that saved, you know, saved me and Kana from the Dream of the Stars.
Gotcha.
So... Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird considering it came from a dating sim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really did. But I mean, you know, they just took the characters from the dating sim and the whole, you know, past life angel thing from, you know, but all the side people that you come to, you know, meet through Yukito are all just the girls that, you know, you can kind of pursue in, you know, the game. And you have your quiet, reserved one who's really pretty. You have, like, the active, you know, tomboyish, you know, girl with the short hair. And then you have the annoying brat, you know, who just tags along all the time, who makes trouble for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in this anime, they really kind of gave them each their own side story that tied into the initial, you know, mysticism, which I liked.
Okay.
I was very surprised that I liked this one, especially because the game, from what I read about it, you know, it was your same whole, I'm a guy, I need pussy, so... Let me seduce this whole town of women. You know, because there's barely any men in this anime. Like, seriously, there's, like, none, except for Yukito. And, like, that crosses the street eating, like, a bean bun or something. But, I mean, okay. If I'm going to rate this, I liked it. I'm going to rate it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I mean, it hasn't been released over here yet. And I mean, I'd be a little worried to see, I'd be really worried that they'd fuck it up because I thought the Japanese voice actors really conveyed the sadness and, you know, all that tension very well. And I'd be worried that the voice actors here may not be able to do it to such an extent.
Mm-hmm.
So if it came over here, like with Loveless, they didn't do an English dub for Loveless at all. It was purely subbed. Which I love.
That's interesting, because usually they do both, because the multi-layer format of the DVD allows it, so people can choose however
they
want it.
I could easily give you, like, my love list, and you could, there is no option for English. It is purely sub.
Oh, I believe you. I'm not calling you a liar.
And I don't mind that at all. Like, I really didn't. I thought that the voice actors for it were great the way that they were, and I want them to try to fuck it up. Because, no offense, I love the voice actors that we have, but sometimes... Sticking with the old way is the way to do it.
And Lost in Translation. You know, it may not be the voices themselves. It may be the fact that they're trying to sync with the movement of the lips or...
Yeah, maybe.
That thematically, it people may not understand without a whole lot of...
Not to mention, Loveless had a lot of bondage, you know, and they probably would have had to go, okay, this is not for kiddies. But anyway, there was. Anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen Loveless yet. I keep getting promised.
I will send it to you.
Yeah, I gotta watch it too. I saw the first few episodes, but then I don't know. I lost track of it.
Season
because the well, way that's what you were hoping it, for, wasn't it?
Because the way they left the last episode, there is no way they couldn't.
And if
they
I don't know.
They would be fucking me up the ass, and I don't like that.
They've left some series horribly short like that.
I know, like, oh, I don't know, Angel Sanctuary. I'm pissed.
Anyway, Sanctuary, Rigveda.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Sucks balls. Yeah. Anyway. So, 3 out of 5. I really did enjoy this. I mean, it's not for everyone. If you're really interested in trying to, figure everything out without cheating, then, this might be something you might be interested in. Other than that, I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths, and I'm going to put an evil black mantra on it.
I'm not touching that.
I'm going to give it to Magic Mystics, so now you have to touch it. So what are you going to do with it?
Well, you know what? Since I'm half dragon, maybe it won't affect me, because I'm a creature of magic, so.
Maybe.
I am going to talk about District B13.
Okay.
Which isn't actually anime. It's not a game. It's not Japanese at all. Sorry, Japanophiles.
Aww.
It's French. It's a French movie.
Oui. I like it already.
See, I don't know much about the French culture or the French people or,
sad and depressed and we like stuff all the time.
Sad and depressed. I've never even heard that stereotype.
And we're angry. We're very angry at everything, but we love because we're French. I'm sorry, all French people. I love you. I was just teasing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, half of those stereotypes I didn't even know.
I was like,
you not watched the Robin Williams thing where he's like making fun of French people?
Is that the same one where he's using a water bottle talking about men shopping and marking things?
Yeah. Yes. It's like, mine.
Yeah, mine.
Because he talks about a French, a judge for skating, and it's all like, the American...
Oh, that was that whole awful, scandal.
Yes. It's like, it's sad, they fucked up, it's tragic, I like it, we'll give it to them. And that's what he does, no lie. And sadly, I've watched it, but I know it. Anyway.
Well, every culture has a terrible stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you a couple black ones right now. I've got bad credit.
You like chicken?
Yeah, I do. And I'm for the masters.
Uh-oh.
No, never mind. Oh, I won't go
yeah,
there.
Please don't. Please don't.
I stopped. I stopped.
I'm glad.
Anyways. District B13 has a totally French title that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I butcher French stuff. But it was created back in 2004 and only recently came over.
Okay.
It's subtitled. There's no dubbing, which is good because in live action, dubbing is like 100 times worse than the dubbing they put into animation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because, people's mouths actually move rather than just open, close.
Right.
So, anybody who's watched old Godzilla movies or any of that knows.
Oh, it's Godzilla!
Good, Mothra, bad!
I'm glad I'm talking to my people.
Yes.
So, all right, the
my
movie
people,
takes
I
place.
I found you.
All right, the
Sorry.
Movie takes place in 2010.
Okay.
In Paris. But in the future, crime rates have skyrocketed, the law is totally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the authority, the people in charge, have retaliated by walling off the worst areas into numbered ghettos.
Uh-oh.
In the ghetto?
Yeah, that's never a good idea.
You should never number the ghetto, man. You just don't want to do that.
Pop, motherfuckers!
I knew you were going to do that.
Sorry.
That's awesome.
I couldn't help it. I apologize.
All right, but the worst of all the ghettos is District B13.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To make things even worse.
First of all, it's got a B in there, so it's got to be for the blacks. And then it's number 13. There's no more unluckier number than 13. It's racial profiling to begin with.
Oh, man, there's a comedian that tells this whole spiel about how if the 13 is a bad luck number, then so should the letter B, because it looks like a squished up 13. So Leto, who's one of the main characters, he grew up in B13 without schools, without hospitals, or pretty much authority of any kind. But he still has his own personal sense of justice, and he fights with the local drug lord, Taha.
I fight for
to protect this personal sense of justice and whatever.
Taha?
I am Sailor
Taha.
Panda.
Okay.
But things go to shit for him when Taha kidnaps Lola, who's Leto's little sister, or just sister. I don't know if she's not older or younger. And the police end up being too cowardly, or perhaps corrupt, to apprehend Taha, and they instead arrest Leto, who's just trying to do the right thing.
Okay.
Yeah. How much does that suck?
That sucks.
Hairy.
So that's where the movie opens. That's where the movie opens with this fight between Leto and Taha, and then Leto getting arrested. Six months later, Damien is a professional undercover cop.
Uh-oh.
And is given an urgent and important mission.
To get cookies?
To get cookies. Yes. But after that...
To find an au bon pan? I bet those are hard to find in France.
That too, but after that, he's sent, you know, maybe in the not-so-important mission as all that, but because Taha has stolen a neutron bomb and accidentally, oops, you know, my bad, sent off the auto-destruct timer.
Oh my god.
Oopsie. He pressed the red button.
Actually just opened it. He just opened it and it's like 24.
Curiosity gets your ass killed.
Yep.
Boom!
Yep.
Baby.
So Damien has 24 hours to find this bomb, A, and then B, to disarm the bomb, or all 2 million residents of B-13 will die. Well, not dying is probably quite high on his list of priorities.
Yeah, that's probably that would
probably
be
next
on the top of my
breathing.
List.
Breathing. Like, yeah. Need to breathe, can't die.
So he's got 24 hours to get there, disarm the bomb, blah, blah, blah. But he's never been to B-13. He's an undercover guy. He insinuates himself into life and, you know, learns it as he goes. So he's all like, what the fuck? I can't do this in 24 hours. And they're like, oh, that's fine. We'll get you a guide. Meet Leto. So Leto, the guy who's been betrayed by authority and hates, you know, all cops, has to team up with a cop to save his home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of infighting in that one.
From the Lord of Terror.
Yeah. So, you know, they cooperate or don't cooperate and... try and save the day. That's the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about this movie is it's got, like, almost Jet Li fighting style in it.
Okay.
But they're not martial artists. They're not like, you know, sensei, grasshopper, blah, 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 wax on, wax off. None of that.
Wax my nuts.
That's a different movie. And a different podcast.
That's anyways.
Crouching
but they,
tiger
they,
hidden... vibrator. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah, I said it. I said it. So what?
Lord,
everyone uses them.
Why is it Panda that always has to bring the vibrator into the issue, though?
I like them.
Maybe,
and I
maybe
have
she's an expert. Maybe she's an expert.
I am a vibrator connoisseur.
I can't believe you said that.
Good.
On
God.
Tape. I can't believe you just
good
said
God.
That on tape.
And the tangents.
Magic, please speak. Please.
Oh, wow, I can't. My brain stopped.
I have taken over. Better roles.
Oh my God, I can't believe you said that on tape.
I dominate.
You know, Mama's going to listen to this eventually one day.
So what? She knows.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Our parents are very aware of my name.
Okay.
Please,
okay, calm.
Something,
right.
Anything.
So although they have, like, the awesome, like, Jet Li talent, it's street fighting. So it's not, like, this super suave, like,
wire work
and katanas and weird shit. It's still got, like, the down and dirty in your face kind of way to it, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Also, apparently France makes really attractive people. Because
no, really?
Everyone in this movie is really attractive.
Like, uber hot. Like, I would do them all the time hot.
It's
like,
because of all the wine and the smoking. It preserves you.
Yeah, but smoking, like, turns your skin and teeth and fingernails
yellow
and makes
like
you,
a banana
like, die.
Without the potassium.
That's why you need the wine, to put back the color and the pigment.
And you need the cheese to constipate it.
Wait. So you smoke a lot, so you turn yellow, and then you drink a lot of red wine, so you freshen up again?
Like, yes, exactly.
Little American, do people make my ass twitch?
Okay. But anyways,
French
no,
kiss,
but...
baby, that's such a good movie.
Okay. But Leto's my favorite. He's super hot. Oh my god, I love you. Anyways, but Damien's kind of Vin Diesel sexy. Little Ooh. Shorter, a little less buff, and he looks a lot more intelligent. Yeah, right. Well, anyways, I give District B-13 a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Because if there was anything to improve this movie, I couldn't see it.
Alright.
2 thumbs up. So I'm giving the cursed...
If the guy from The Professional was in there, I bet that would have made it better.
Oh,
that would have made it better.
If you put Jean Renault in something, that just infinitely makes it better.
That's just an instant bring your towel.
Yeah, but guys, he's like the token Frenchman. He's like the only Frenchman everybody knows.
He was like on the street eating cheese. I mean, oh my god.
Wait. Before Jean Renault, the only French guy we knew was Gérard Depardieu, okay? That's a total upgrade.
Yeah, he even made Pink Panther a good movie.
Okay! I mean, come on!
Yeah. Along with What's-His-Face, Handsome Rob. But he didn't last long, did he?
No.
Okay,
that's all you need. Jean Renault, mwah, we love you. I do.
Right.
I would totally do Jean Renault. Alright, moving on.
So 4.5 out of 5, yay. I'm giving you the cursed alligator of 1,000 truths or whatever the hell it is. What are you going to do with it?
The curse could easily summon a very horny alligator that will rape you.
Right.
Yeah. So before I touch this thing, I'm going to take out one of my little ninjutsu things and I'm going to put that on there and dispel the curse. So no alligator raping ninja today. So now it's just back to being a regular Mike of 1,000 Truths.
Aww.
And I hate to be the one to, like, bring the conversation down and get all serious, but had I known that it was going to be completely off-topic, fun, happy day, I would have prepared that kind of thing. Instead,
what did you prepare?
I have a serious thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, totally out of place. So deal with it. Here's the deal. I've been thinking a lot because I'm getting ready to bring in a gaming computer to get into gaming on a PC. And I have been doing some research, looking at game titles and things like that, and I came up to realize that there's a big difference between gaming on the PC and on the consoles. Not so much in the content, as far as the game titles, because many titles that are available on the PC are available on at least one console in some form or another. They get ported over. But what the difference seems to be is in online versus offline. Okay.
See, that's not so bad. See, you said I'm going to bring it down, and I was like, oh my god, she's going like Shakespearean tragedy on us.
Oh, no. I'm not going like that deep. No.
Okay.
Because God of War doesn't come out for like another month.
Yeah, but that's not so bad. That's too much fun to be that bad.
Yeah. And so, up until the last few years, gaming on consoles has been a very solitary thing. I mean, unless you had, you know, before the PS3 came out, if you had a PS2, you had to buy an extra peripheral to have more than 2 players play a game. You had to buy the multi-tap thing. And then you have to have a game that was actually built for multiplayer. Many of the titles that were coming out were for 1 player. A lot of the action titles, a lot of the platformers, and things like that. They didn't support.
Platformers? More
yeah,
than
I brought my PlayStation and a few games, all of my games, actually, over a friend's house, and then I realized that I didn't have anything that more than one person could play.
Right, and that's happened to me more than a few times that I've gone over, you know, I called them adult play dates, where I would bring my game system over and a bunch of game, and I have my extra controller, and I'd start going through my collection going, oh, yeah, that's a one player, and, you know, other than a couple of fighting games and a racing game, everything I had was a one-player game.
Yeah.
And I found that on the PC, it just the opposite is true. A lot of the popular games for PC gamings are all multiplayer games or online multiplayer games.
Yeah.
So you're basically like have been the Lone Ranger almost if you were a console gamer, whereas the PC games have actually been building communities. Really.
Maybe that's why I have so much trouble like with WoW and stuff, because I've solo games on my PlayStation and PlayStation 2 for the last however many years. And then I go on WoW and I'm like, all right, there's so many people in this world,
but
I'm going to hang out
and
do my own thing for hours.
Right, and it's overwhelming because it's that unknown thing. I mean, like, if you take a look at the WoW people and the Evercrack people. I mean, you know, hell, if you throw in the Second Life people, who they're on a completely different level of online multiplayer interaction community thing. Okay.
City of Heroes and Villains, too.
Exactly. You can see that online gaming is really serious on the PC, whereas the consoles are just now starting to get into it. You know, it's just now that you can buy consoles that have either built-in Wi-Fi or adapters for it. I mean, when I got my first PS2, I didn't put it online, because at the time there wasn't any content out. I mean, the network adapter didn't come out until year two of the PS2 launch, because there were no online components. And even that had to be rushed because it was really being brought out for that Final Fantasy game. And very few people, you know, got on it. I mean, I'm not going to say very few, but not the amount of people that they wanted. And now, what you have is the Xbox 360 is built either with the network adapter you can get it bundled with, or get a Wi-Fi adapter.
But not anymore.
Yeah.
So confused.
Don't get arrested. That's all I have to say. And so now what you have happening is you have multiplayer games with the online component that are just getting popular, because it's just been recently that you can get a console that can actually access high-speed internet, which is what you really need or want for gaming. You know, I mean, now you can get an Xbox 360 with a wireless adapter, and it comes with an Ethernet port built in, so you can do a wired connection if you need to and tack it onto your home network. The same with the PlayStation 2. You can either get it at the PlayStation 3, I mean. You can get it with built-in Wi-Fi, and it comes with the gigabit Ethernet built-in as well. And the Wii already has a built-in Wi-Fi card. So they're making it easier for you to do the online multiplayer games on the consoles. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that drove me to buy my PS3 was the experience that I had with the online gaming on Xbox Live, which was my first real foray into online gaming on the console, because, like I said, I didn't move my PS2 to the network adapter when it came out. So I hadn't played anything online before, and I've been a strict console player. And so as I was doing my research and looking at this, I started to wonder, you know, what is the breakdown of online versus offline players? I mean, is really the defining line between that, you know, up to now been if you wanted to be online and have a community-based experience, you were on the PC, and that's why it was so popular with hardcore gamers on the PC, because you had that interaction, whereas on the console, the only way that you could have interaction with something other than computer AI was if you're playing a two-player or four-player game, which those were really few and far between. I mean, even if you look at the game rosters right now, there really aren't a lot of multiplayer games. It's just now that we're having more multiplayer games show up on the consoles, and it's because of the online component being added. And so it really started to get me to think about, what is my experience going to be like now that I'm going to get into PC gaming? You know, the games that I'm looking at, the most popular games, which tend to be MMORPGs, especially because I just suck at first-person shooters, and I don't know why. I just do. I admit it. I own it.
I don't. I can cock it like a mofo.
I suck. Balls, but
oh,
then after
suck.
About a but then Sorry. After about a half hour, I start kicking ass. it's my learning curve.
I don't know, when I was playing Counter-Strike, when I was trying to be a terrorist, I sucked. But when I went counter-terrorist, I was dropping you all like flies.
Oh my god, see, I can't play counter-terrorist at all. I'm like, oh my
bam,
god, I can't
dead.
Do this.
Bam, you're dead. Bam, bam, you're dead. Reload.
I make a much better evil person.
Apparently,
but
I
then
must,
if you start talking about the Unreal tournament, then I'm really awful. Especially if you give me the bio gun. Because if you give me the bio gun, I will without fail kill myself.
It's like, holy shit, I just killed myself with my own weapon.
Because it shoots like 5 feet in front of you, this green glowing ball of whatever. And then if you're running and shooting, anthrax. You're just going to run over it and die.
I've done
it's,
that
it's
a few
feces
times.
And fecal matter with evil bacteria that eats out your spleen.
I need my spleen.
I need it. I need don't a know colon. What for, but I know that I need it.
I need kidneys and a pancreas.
But anyway, and so I really started thinking, and I wanted to ask you two, because I know that you've played PC games, both of you. Uh-huh. What titles do you play on your computer? And do they have an online component, and do you play it online?
Diablo, online component, yes. Diablo 2, online component, yes. World of Warcraft, I think we already know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Sims does, but I don't play it online.
Okay. How about me? I played City of Heroes for a while, which is online, and gave that up. I played WoW for a while, which is online, and I gave that up. Because I don't have the money to pay $20 a month or $15 a month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't play often enough. Other stuff I play, Neverwinter Nights, Diamond Edition,
ooh, is that
no
good?
Online. It is. It's very good. It's very long, though, because it's got, like, it's Neverwinter Nights plus, like, 6 expansions for the Diamond Edition. So I haven't finished it yet. And then there's Age of Mythology, which I play over and over and over again. Which
right.
is basically, the Civilization games or the Age of Empires games, just with god powers and mythological beasts.
Gotcha.
That's awesome. What else do I play? Icewind Dale, that doesn't have online, and I play that. So although I have played the MMORPGs, I don't enjoy them much because I'm a solo gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get myself into the whole group mentality thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
and see that
Because when I'm in a group, I always feel like I'm either slowing all the other better gamers down, or all the terrible gamers are slowing me down. I don't work well with others when I'm on the PC.
I work well with others all the
you
time.
You disbanded your whole guild. How do you work well with others?
Shut up. There was nothing I could do. We were a sinking ship. It helped other people get into other guilds, and fuck you.
I love
no
that.
Didn't need to know that because I think I did make a post letting people know how to
you did make a
guild
post.
In less than 3 hours.
Yes, and that
you
was
did.
Awesome. I like at the end, you're like, okay, and then type / disband. Boom. There you go. Look for this and other disbanding recipes.
Shut up.
Coming from the Pandalicious line. Very good.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do it. You know?
Now she's going to work on, what is it? What was that movie? She's going to work on how to lose a guy in less than 10 days.
Not even. It's easy. Say you dumped. 10 minutes, top.
No, but I think the whole point was to make him dump her, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was doing all sorts of awful things.
Then all I would do is walk in with a love fern and be like, this
the love fern! Oh my god,
let it
love fern! That's about the only thing I remember from that movie.
No, I'd be like, STDs! It's over. Like, okay.
All right. So anyway, back to the gaming thing. But really, I asked that question because one of the things that I am noticing is that I play my Wii and I play my Xbox 360 much more than I play my PS3 right now. And it's because of the online component. Like I used to before I had that online part, I was used to being alone against the AI. And I kind of like that. And once I actually started getting into the online component, even if I'm not playing somebody online, I like when I'm on Xbox Live to be able to see, you know, which of my friends are coming online and be able to pause my game if I want to and message them back. Or if I'm in a fighting game, be able to actually invite them into my tournament and things like that. I enjoy that interaction now because it's real difficult to get people over to your house to play.
But you say pause and talk to your friends. None of the MMORPGs I've ever played allow you to pause.
Right. But you're at
nope,
the
I,
moment,
psst.
You're talking.
Psst.
Uh-oh.
What?
No,
what?
I'm just saying, that's what we do in WoW. We psst.
Oh, whisper. Right.
You know. Exactly. I mean, I can talk to people while I'm in the middle of the game, but unfortunately my multitask isn't that good. So, like, when I'm playing DOA 4, I can actually, if I'm in training or something and somebody pops on, I can hit pause and, you know, take a second and send them a message and then jump back into my game. But if I'm in the middle of something, I can also see that a message pops up and hit a button and just right off the bat be taken to that message. So I don't necessarily have to pause. But what I like is having that added level of interaction, because it's hard to get people over to your place to play. And, you know, if you invite six people over and the game you have only lets two people play, well, what are the other four people supposed to do? You can't just let them free range around your house. They're going to fuck shit up. I like my shit so-so. So I'm really kind of looking forward to doing some things on the PC to have that added community, because now that I've had a taste of it, gaming to me isn't as fun anymore if it's not there. Like, I feel like something's missing out of the game if there's not an online component.
Hmm. And so it's called people.
I'm just
antisocial.
You're so used to just playing with yourself, and now you can play.
Wow, we had a fade out there.
Yeah, all I heard is playing with yourself, and then there was a fade, and then you started laughing. So I'm like, okay.
Maybe I'm just antisocial, because I don't miss that interaction at all.
You like playing with yourself?
I prefer playing with myself.
I like playing with myself and other people at the same time.
I prefer to play by myself.
I enjoy playing with other people.
It's normal. It's natural. It happens all the time, like right now.
Oh my
and that,
god.
That whole god killing kittens thing, that's not true. And you won't be struck blind either.
I hate cat killers. Cat killers suck balls.
Moving on. Okay. So, as I started thinking about this, my next question that I wanted to ask you guys, because I'm kind of doing a little bit of an experiment here, is what was the last game you played?
Wow.
Okay.
For me?
Yeah.
Diner Dash. Okay. I downloaded it off the internet.
Oh, okay. So now my next question is, are those PC games or are those console games?
PC.
PC.
Okay.
I downloaded it last night.
All right. Now, is
Before that, though, I played Resident Evil Nemesis for a few weeks straight.
Mm-hmm. And so what I was curious to see, and I think I've kind of, you know, have a little more information to actually help prove my point, is that I think what we're seeing is the end of the lone wolf player. I think what we're starting to see is the advent of what I'm going to call the social
game orgies. Game orgies.
No, not game orgies.
Are you telling me I'm a dying breed?
Yeah,
you're
that's upsetting. That's upsetting.
Welcome to the fucking club.
Like Saturday morning, like benefits, like stars with phones to call in to save you.
What are you talking about? You're like you're doing this, blah 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 blah, and I'm not hearing a word. Sorry, the hand motion of talking doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't translate across very well.
I didn't really know what you were saying, though.
Yeah. And welcome to the club as far as the dying breed goes, because I've been there for a while when it comes to gaming. So, you know, just accept it and own it.
As long as there's two of us, we can spoon for warmth.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God.
Hey.
I'm at the point where I'm as excited about Crackdown coming out as I am about God of War 2. And the difference between the two of those is that God of War 2 doesn't have an online component. It's a solo game. Okay, but I've been looking forward to God of War 2 since God of War 1.
Oh my god, how awesome would it be if it was multiplayers and you had like
Exactly.
It's like, yes, I have like 6 Kratos, do my bidding.
Okay, but do you see what I mean? Okay, so if you had an online multi-thing where you could, like, build up and have different Kratoses show up, so, you know, actually have, like, a Chef of War Kratos and somebody who's built him up and have your bomb-ass Kratos and then go, you know, have this multiplayer experience, how freaking awesome would that be?
I don't know how awesome that would be, because I just had a vision of a female Kratos and my brain shut down.
Does it kind of look like Red Sonja?
Actually, he kind of looks like the regular Kratos, just with massive breasts.
Okay.
Give her half. He'd have a penis.
We're not having.
I said penis.
We're not having.
I can't believe you know who Red Sonja is.
How can I not? Panda, really, please. Let the penis alone. It has to rest.
Sorry, I'm having an odd day today, guys.
Magic, you must remember, I am actually, as Pandalicious will not let you forget, older than you. So I actually did see Red Sonja actually in first run.
She's old.
Bite me, bitch. So anyway, and I thought it was really interesting because when Crackdown first was announced, I really wasn't interested in it because I just thought it was a Grand Theft Auto ripoff. But after playing the demo more and more, I want this game because the multiplayer experience is just too damn fun. I mean, even though I'm not very good at the game, it's the dynamics are good enough that I don't just die all the time, which is a plus. That leads to me wanting to buy the game. If I can play it for an hour and not die more than a couple of times, I'm probably going to buy the game. But I'm dying to actually get this game and get online with some people and just start blowing some shit up. And I can't wait for it. At the same time, I'm just as excited about God of War 2, but more so about Crackdown at this point because I want that online experience. And I think what we're going to start seeing, it's already happening with things like Second Life and the World of Warcraft people and the Evercrack people, I mean, EverQuest people, and, you know,
Can't stop the more Warcraft.
Oblivion folks, is that you're seeing social gaming replacing that. Okay, the Wii is designed as a social gaming machine. You can have four controllers built right off the bat to work with the machine, and almost all of the games that initially came out for it are multiplayer.
Does this mean I have to interact with people if
you're going to have to interact
with people? You're going to have to play with people and yourself.
I don't want to.
You're going to have to. The big push for all the game developers on the console as well as on the PC, because it's easy to build in an online component on PC gaming because the machine that you're using already has internet hookup capability built in, which is why now the consoles now have internet capability already hooked in. You know, and so I think that what you're going to see over this next year is that the big focus is going to be games that have some kind of online component. Okay, the big thing that's been right now on all of the consoles have been the retro games, because the average age of the gamer has gone up. The average age of gamers
not my age, Ninja's age. Because Ninja's old.
Bitch. Actually, even older.
It's 30.
Something?
It's 30.
That's right, she'll turn that in what, a year? Oh!
Fuck you. It's two, bitch. Do your math. Anyway.
Hey, I never said that math, but that doesn't matter because you're old! Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, I have money.
Yeah, and you will be too eventually.
Yeah.
But no matter what,
she'll be older than me.
Yeah, but you remind me of my uncle who made fun of my dad for going bald. My uncle doesn't laugh anymore because he's bald too.
Yeah. So what?
I don't care. It's all right.
I'm taller anyway.
Fuck you. Okay?
And I'm like a foot taller than you. You want me to get in there with you?
No.
So anyway, but the average age of gamers is gone up. It's 30, and the average gamer is a working professional, somebody that can afford to drop $70 a game on a game that they want, but will get into experiences only if they can have that community experience, because they're working a 40-hour week. So if they sit down to game, they don't want a Lone Ranger experience. They want to be able to, you know, kind of pal around with some of their friends and have some laughs and make fun of some stupid shit and beat on some other players and then put it down. So I think what we're seeing is that the stereotype of the pimple-faced geek or geekette who lives in their parent's basement. Yeah, I like geekette.
I like geekette. We should add that to the glossary.
Yeah, I think we should. That lives in their basement and plays games all by themselves and, you know, has a tweaked out character and has no life. Is gone, and what's being replaced by that is a working professional in their late 20s to early 30s who is looking for an alternative to the going out every night bar experience. Have a little fun at home, relax, chill out with my friends without actually having to worry about you know, jumping in a car, things like that. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with actually going out and having a life, but what I think is what we're seeing is that people now also want to have that life and be able to take it into gaming experience. So I think, yeah.
I wonder what that means for face-to-face interaction.
Well, I think that it's going to change that. I mean, because you already are seeing computers that have webcams built in or as an added thing. The iToy was something that Sony added to the PS2, which didn't take off as big as they wanted here, but did very well over in Europe. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll see more of that happening since Xbox 360 also has a Vision Cam that you can now use for certain games and actually have yourself represented in the game than other people. So I think that what you'll see is that you'll start seeing people start holding and getting onto consoles just to do video chat with other people that are on their friends list and things like that. So I think it will add a whole another level to the social networking thing that seems to be very popular right now. I think that it's just carrying over into games. And it was very interesting to me as, you know, I was just starting my research on just basically looking for games that I'd want to play on the PC that I have coming in and realizing that there's nothing I want to play that doesn't have an online multiplayer component. And I thought that was interesting. So I'd like to hear what other people's thoughts are on online versus offline. Because I think that it's going to be a very interesting year for that. But I think the social gamer is about here. And I think that the lone wolf, lone ranger, all by myself gamer has kind of been marked for...
Can I? All by myself. Don't wanna be. Sorry.
Oh, I had to. Go magic.
I don't know why I did that in such a weird voice.
I don't know why either. I was like, okay, I think she's gonna do it, but.
Is she gonna do it yet? And then she did it.
Yeah. And then she did it.
I can't believe you didn't join me, Panda.
Because I'm not
all by myself doesn't lend itself well to duets, does
it? Yeah, it kind of like takes the purpose.
And you were like, let me do it. So I said, all right, you do it. You did it.
Yeah. Sorry. So in any case, with that all said and done, I guess I'm going to call this podcast toast.
I think it's about time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think it's a little bit past time.
Did I kill the podcast with my singing?
No. It
was dead long before you started singing.
No, it wasn't. Don't be mean.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, if we were nice, this podcast would be fun.
I know. Yeah, it would. It would just wouldn't be filled with antics and people wouldn't love me. Just kidding.
Are you so sure they love you now?
Well, seeing as how the ego has landed, I'm going to ask it what it's going to do with its toast since it's all about it.
Nah, it's going to leave the toast for tomorrow because Panda's going to need it for her hangover.
Wow, she plans these things ahead.
Yes. She's a responsible drinker. And kids, you should be responsible drinkers too. If you're not 21, don't touch that booze. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and dial.
Eyes and
eyes. And for the love of Christ, don't drink and email.
Bad things happen.
You can't unsend email.
And don't.
Don't drink and snow blow.
Oh God, don't, that could be horrible.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, you might lose a thumb. We know people that's happened to. Family members.
And don't hook up, because most likely that person's ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Not that you should, you know, base solely on appearance. You know,
hopefully, when you wake up, he has some teeth.
Oh!
Just a few. Yeah. Just enough so that you feel better about yourself.
Exactly. So with that said...
Or maybe he's got money. Not that you should be driven by power or money.
Yes, don't be a skankalicious hoe. Moving on. Magic, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm actually probably going to the movies tonight. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but isn't Ghost Rider in the theaters by now?
Yes,
I believe so, yes.
I'm so excited about that.
Are you there,
that
like,
I don't
shareware?
Actually know what the theater is. What?
Are you there, like, shareware?
Yeah, I guess. No, because Nicolas Cage is one of my favorite actors, and I love comic book movies, and there's fire, and there's skulls, and there's motorcycles, like, and, you know,
fire,
what,
like,
could be better?
See, here's my only problem with that.
I'm just hoping there's a little plot in there, too.
I love Nicolas Cage, okay? And
I hear this enormous butt lurking behind your words.
He named his kid Kal-El. How can I take him seriously?
I didn't actually hear about that.
Yes! He named his kid Kal-El.
Hey, wow. Isn't he also going to be in that movie Wild Hogs?
No, that's John Travolta. No. You're mixing up your white guys.
I didn't mistake. Okay, wow.
Because she's thinking about...
If you're watching Face Off, I can understand mixing them up.
And that's what it is. She went back to Face Off and was like, the other white guy.
Yeah, John Travolta, the other white guy.
The other white guy. But yeah. Nicolas Cage named his kid Kal-El.
So what are you doing with your toes?
A little strange.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing with your toes, son?
I am going to take my toast. And
shove it up your ass!
You know what? You need to get off the caffeine. Because it's not doing you any kind of good.
Panda, she told us this at the beginning of the podcast. You need to stop revealing these things before she can say it herself.
I know.
Oh, fuck you, too, Magic. I'm just going to take my toast, and I'm going to put some honey on it. And nurse my broken... feelings, because you people fucking suck, okay?
I think we should point our fingers at her and laugh.
You've been doing nothing but making fun of me this whole episode. And now I'm gonna come in the corner and cry. Oh my god, you fucking suck.
Oh my god, she's
Valley
my
girl.
God, are you gonna
strange.
Cry now? Are you gonna cry now? Oh, boohoo.
We are so fucking out.
That's it. We're breaking up.
So, done with you. Oh my god. You need, like, to go and get, like, a bus ticket, because I'm not even gonna drive you home.
To the left.
You should,
to the left.
Like, call Tyrone. But you can't use
my
phone.
We can't use my phone. Bitch. Anyway,
oh
alright.
Podcast. Yeah. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we are out of here.
And we're out.
Out.